Welcome back to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. And we change the pace again. We've been talking about quilts for orphans the last hour. But this time of the month, on the third Wednesday between 1 and 2, we have Each in. And we know a bit about Each. They run some terrific programs. This afternoon, we've got with us Sophie. And Sophie is a youth outreach recovery support. So welcome, Sophie.
Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. Sophie, first of all, we've got to ask you, what is a youth outreach recovery service?
So we're a program that works with young people who have been struggling with mental health issues. We provide support for that young person to work on recovery goals, to hopefully improve their ability to manage their mental health symptoms, to engage in more community activities and strengthen their support networks, and, you know, link them into services, and it varies person to person.
Is it mainly where you meet with the young people, and is it on a one-on-one, or is it mainly where you say, well, all right, you've had an interview and this person we think needs mental health or they need support, and do you link them into those services?
So we work one-to-one with a young person in a place where they're comfortable meeting, and that might mean their home, a community setting, going on activities with them, or, you know, going for walks while we talk with them. It's a combination of that kind of support, as well as supporting them to access and link in to appropriate longer-term supports.
Yep. So obviously the aim of the service is not to just support them forever, is it? I mean, the idea is to get them to a situation where they can realise what they want to do and what they need. Is that right?
Absolutely, yeah. It's very much all about building their capacity and their independence, and ability to manage things themselves, and not sort of building that reliance on us as workers.
And I guess some of these young people, unfortunately, and I'm not here to judge anybody, but sometimes it isn't the family. Like, we all think that the family are going to support the young children, but that doesn't always happen, does it?
No. Look, we've got a lot of young people who really haven't had positive family support, or, you know, for a variety of reasons, and often have been had to figure things out for themselves with no guidance or firm sort of roof over their heads even.
And that doesn't always, when you're expecting a young person to act as an adult because there's no adult support, it's not going to end well, is it?
Not usually, yeah. It can be really challenging for the young person to figure out those things, and particularly when we've had the pandemic come through and all of the extra sort of stresses that placed on everyone, that's been really challenging for a lot of young people.
And so this program isn't just confined to, say, Yarra Junction or Lilydale, is it?
No. We operate in 6 local government areas across the east. So we're Yarra Ranges, Knox, Maroondah, and then we're also Whitehorse, Monash and Manningham.
It's a big area, isn't it?
Very big, yes. So we do have to negotiate a lot where we're going to meet with people and try to sort of make it work.
Yeah. And how many workers, apart from you lead the team, but how many workers are in that area?
So we've currently got 4 other workers full-time. And, yeah, so it can be a challenge. We're limited in terms of how many people we can take in. And, not enough people to meet the demand, really.
Well, you'd love it if you could, but that's – there's obviously more demand than what. Sophie, I've just got to take a quick break, and we'll be back talk quite a lot more about this program.
Can I?
And, of course, that was ABBA and Ring. Ring, great group at the time. And I see they've put out a new song, which I must get, and we'll try and play that. I'm talking to Sophie from Each, and she's with the Youth Outreach Recovery Support. Now, we've talked a little bit about what they do, but what are the actual services, Sophie, that you do offer to young people?
So it does vary from young person to young person, because obviously we tailor it to their needs and their goals. But it might be things, for example, like linking into a psychologist or linking into a service where they can access assessment for and diagnosis and then medication review. We might work with a young person and their, if they have an existing psychologist or another clinical support, we might provide that practice in their strategies. So out in the community, we can work with them on going into situations where they might be practicing something around managing their anxiety. We will sort of work with them around developing more understanding of their mental health diagnosis and learning about that and how it impacts them. It might be things around nutrition, around budgeting, sometimes linking them in. Yeah, it's really, it is quite sort of varied, but obviously it's around working with them to identify what's important to them in the areas that they need to change or that they need extra support, and maybe supporting to rebuild connections with family or to strengthen that, or, you know, engaging groups. We run, there's a number of groups that we run, and it might be to support a young person into that. It's very broad and varied, really.
So I guess the major outcome is what you're looking for is to improve the life, I suppose, of the young person, isn't it?
Yeah, to improve their ability to manage their mental health, because as we all know, mental health just doesn't necessarily get fixed quickly, or it might be something that you're going to be dealing with for a long time. And so we aim to really have those supports around them, and that includes family and carers and friends where that's appropriate, and strengthening all of those supports and their ability to reach out and use those supports, and also to build their own internal capacity to manage things going forward.
Sophie, do you work with just the young person, or at times do you include the parents and carers in that?
Absolutely. Look, a young person, I mean, obviously it's going to depend on their circumstance. Sometimes they're older and are living with a partner. But where there is a family around that young person, we, of course, will try to connect in with the family, involve them in the young person's recovery process, link those families into other supports that maybe can assist them, because a lot of the times the families or the carers involved are getting pretty burnt out or pretty stressed themselves. There might be a need to link some of them into some of those families into like a carer support service, or even family violence sometimes, or housing. And we definitely try to strengthen those relationships with the young person as well.
Sophie, you keep talking about young people, and that's what we hear.
Yep.
So, but we haven't defined what a young person is yet.
So we work with 16 to 25.
16 to 25.
Yep.
Right. So what? How can these young people access your service? Just before you do start, I don't like to cut across a guest, but I just need to mention this, that at 5 to 2... we'll get people to have their pen and paper out, and you're going to give them phone numbers, Facebook pages and all that. So we only want a rough outline now, but I also would like people to have paper and pencil ready at 5 to 2, because Sophie will give you contact details, whether you be an older person who wants to talk to them about your young person or whether you're a young person. Sorry, Sophie. So
no, that's fine.
How do they go about accessing it?
Look, it's pretty easy, actually. Anyone can refer in. A young person themselves can contact the service to start that process. A grandparent, a worker, a school wellbeing worker can do it. Anyone can refer them in. The only criteria really is that they live in our areas that we cover, which I mentioned before.
Pretty big.
Yeah, that's a big area. And that really they have to have been experiencing mental health, significant or, you know, reasonably difficult mental health symptoms for over 6 months.
Oh, that's not unbelievable.
Yeah.
Got to take another quick break and we'll be back with more.
It's lonesome away from your kindred and all. Face of the bum. The maid's gone all cranky and the cook's acting queer. Oh, what a terrible place is a pub with no beer. Then the stockman rides up with his dry, dusty throat. He breasts up to the bar and pulls a wad from his coat. But the smile on his face quickly turns to a sneer as the barman says sadly, the pub's got no beer. Then the swaggy comes in, smothered in dust and flies. He throws down his roll and rubs the sweat from his eyes. But when he is told, he says, what's this I hear? I've trudged 50 flaming miles to a pub with no beer. There's a dog on the veranda, for his master he waits. But the boss is inside, drinking wine with his mates. He hurries for cover, and he cringes in fear. It's no place for a dog, round a pub with no beer. First time in his life has gone home cold sober to his darling wife. He walks in the kitchen, she says, you're early, my dear. But then he breaks down and he tells her, the pub's got no beer. So it's lonesome away from your kindred and all, by the campfire at night, where the wilding with no beer.
Man, that's going back in time to the 1950s, the great Slim Dusty and a pub with no beer. I can remember at times when that was on the radio all the time. I loved old Slim Dusty, and he's been gone a few years now, but I think that, and I'd love to have a beer with Duncan. I think they're probably the two songs that he's most remembered for. Look, I just need to make a quick reminder. The Wiri Community House has been in contact with me. They're just down the road from where we are, and they did have a kids' fest ready to come up in October, and the weather knocked it on the head. But on Thursday, the 24th of November, it's back on, and they tell me it doesn't matter what the weather is like this time, even it's hailing or what, it will still be on. So the Kids Fest for November the 24th at Wiri Community House will definitely go ahead. Now, I'm talking to Sophie from Each. Sophie, I think you want to make a point that you're not doctors. It's not a clinical thing where you're going to come in and diagnose them. I mean, it's more about working with the issues they've got, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. We're not a clinical service, we're a community service, and we aim to link the young people or work with their existing clinical supports. But yeah, we are obviously more working with young people who are wanting to make certain changes in their life to improve their recovery from mental health. serious issues.
Sophie, the one, this is probably about how long is a piece of string. there's no answer to it. But do you get mainly young people who are undiagnosed, who just come to you and say, look, I've got a problem, I hate this and I can't stand that? Or do you find that you get more people referred to you from other services saying to you, I think you people can help these people better than what we can?
Look, we get both, actually. There's quite a lot of young people who either haven't had any diagnosis and or have just had a standard anxiety, depression, but maybe there's something more significant going on. Other times it is young people coming to us with a huge amount of diagnoses. It really varies, but it's really, they're always referred wanting to engage with us and their consent to engage with us. But yeah, it's really, sometimes there's young people who've come with the diagnosis and don't agree with that and either want to have support to review that or learn different things about themselves or how to manage that.
And I guess you're never going to be able to work with a young person unless they admit to themselves that they have some sort of problem, are you?
Well, yeah, it's admitting, I think, that they are understanding that they want to work on improving their mental health management and understanding that only really we can support them to do that. We can't actually do it for them, though.
Yeah, and that, I guess that's one of the better things is that when they come to you, rather than be forced to come to you, then they've put their hand up and said, we need help.
Yeah, absolutely. There's not much that we can do. As much as, you might have a family member who's desperately trying to get their child help or, whatever the circumstances, as you would well know, you can't help someone if they don't want that support.
No, it's the same with alcoholism and all those sorts of problems. Until you admit you've got a problem, then it's never going to work. I guess this is also a pretty silly question to ask you, but I'm going to ask it just the same. COVID-19 has had a huge... I was actually at a school meeting last night and I know it's had a huge impact on the young people. And I guess you're probably... I'm going to ask you, are you finding more young people coming to you than what you would have prior to COVID?
Oh, look, that's really hard to tell. I mean, particularly because our service literally started in the lockdowns. but the first year was in that sort of, just all of those lockdowns in the middle of that. Certainly, I think it has increased the demand on services and has had a really big impact. And I think we're really going to be seeing the impact for many, many years to come. But it's also, I think there's the things like the increasing difficulties in buying food and rent and all of that sort of stuff. There's a whole lot of factors that are putting more pressure on mental health at the moment, I think.
And unfortunately, that's not going to go away, is it?
No. Not without some, big investment and changes.
Right. But particularly stress, I guess the young people aren't finding the mortgage stress so bad, but I see everything's going up,
Yeah, mum and dad or, whoever they're living with may be experiencing that and that impacts on them.
Yeah. And I guess not every young child or young person is living in a home where... some of these things play out and they play out badly, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Look, we have a lot of young people. Family violence is a really, really big one and the impacts of that are pretty long-lasting and very damaging. We've got a lot of young people who have had, struggles with their gender or their sexuality and experienced awful things around that. People who've just there's a lot of trauma that will come up through our clients, but oftentimes it's also just living in a normal family and they're still reasons why people develop mental health issues.
I mean, people can break a leg, and we tend to, and I know it's been said many times, you know, a person can see a broken leg, they can't see a broken mind, but it's very true. And
absolutely.
And we need people to put their hands up, not to try and hide it.
Absolutely, yeah. Very much there's a lot of stigma, particularly around certain diagnoses. Yeah. And so having those really open conversations and being open and, you know, discussing these issues is really critical, because it is. There's people suffering and are often ashamed of that.
And they shouldn't.
No.
And if someone breaks a leg, you'll always say to them, well, how did you break your leg? And then that's the end of it. But people often, or I hope we're getting a lot better, but years ago, if someone had mental health problems, people would often say to them, oh, come on, get over it. And particularly if someone said they were depressed, they'd say, oh, come on, pull yourself out and get on with it. Well, hopefully we've got past that.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. And you certainly wouldn't expect somebody hobbling around on a broken leg to keep doing that without help, would you?
You would. So I've got to take another quick break and I'll be back with more.
Sympathy, I don't mind, 'cause you mean that much to me.
And I'm talking to Sophie from Each, and I saw her singing along to that song, so you obviously know that one, Sophie.
Certainly do. Love the Temptations.
Terrific. I guess we're talking about this service. So a lot of young people haven't got much money. So what does it cost them to access the service, or the ongoing cost?
There is no cost, so we're government funded, which is great. Obviously, we will work with the young people. That's part of what we might do, which might be helping them link into Centrelink and apply for benefits if they haven't got that, or link into job network, build their skills to access work or education or something like that. So there's no fee and no ongoing costs.
So that's terrific. So the young people can put that to bed. They don't have to worry about the cost of coming to see you. But I think we've almost covered this, but I haven't asked you straight out, do they need a referral?
No. So a young person can refer themselves, and anyone can refer a young person in if they want to be referred in.
Yeah. So we're going to give that at 5 to 2. We're going to give the details on your website, phone numbers and Facebook and all that. But I guess it's not much good, like we've possibly got grandparents or parents listening to us today, but it's not much good unless they've had the discussion with the young person and the young person has agreed to come, because you can't go to them, or even if you did go to them, it's never going to work unless they want to be helped, is it?
Yeah, that look, we'll certainly give it a try, but obviously if he, let's say a grandparent has care of their grandchild and they want to refer them in, you know, it needs to be the young person really, I guess, wanting that support. But certainly we have had, you know, we'll give it a try where we think that engagement might work, because sometimes it is just building a little bit of a relationship with the young person and going out for walks with them and just sort of listening to them and just helping them feel heard. We have actually been able to then, you know, have the young people turn around and be really wanting to engage with us.
I guess, well, pardon me, I heard a very sad case a while ago. Pardon me, I just got a frog in the throat. In fact, I've had it about the last hour. I'm getting a bit sick. Anyway, that's my problem. And they said that the thing that they'd never had was a person who sat down and listened to them. They were always told, you will do this, you won't do that.
Yeah.
And if they were at home, they got hit if they didn't do it. And, you know, sometimes it is just somebody to talk to them, to start the conversation. I don't say that's ever going to cure what they've got, but sometimes that's the start, isn't it?
Yeah, very much. We really operate from a person-centred approach, and the young person is very much, you know, there to be listened to and to have that, have their desires and their goals and their concerns voiced and addressed.
Because very often young people deep down do have ideas of what they want, don't they? But very often it's been through trauma, violence at home. It's been so suppressed that they don't really know.
Yeah, definitely. That happens. And sometimes as well, it's when they've been, you know, for example, if they've experienced significant depression for many years, they've lost all sense of what could be, you know, what something or any sense of hope. And that's a big part of what we try to build within these young people, is identifying their strengths and developing and sort of starting to see their future with a bit of hope.
I remember talking, in fact, I interviewed somebody a while ago who said to me that they didn't realise they had depression and they just knew they had problems. And until they sat down with someone and someone said to them, I think you've got depression. And they checked out depression, they found that's what it was. And it's a bit like you just said, they thought they were never going to change from what they were and they weren't happy with what they were. But as soon as they found it was depression and it could, something could be done, it changed their whole lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, really building their sort of ability to take a little bit of control, I guess, or to understand that there are things that they can do to make changes in how they manage their mental health.
Sophie, I've got to take one more quick break and we'll be back. But I ask people if something that we've been talking about today is tweaked with you and that you'd like to get hold of each, Sophie's going to give you contact details and Facebook pages, everything, when we come back.
I'm a Dylan song, I'm George and Ringo. survivor.
And I've seen it all go down. Well, you can change the times and you can change the rhymes. You can even change the sound.
That was the late John English, and I'm a survivor. Now, we're talking to Sophie from Each. Sophie, just, well, first of all, we'll give the people the contact details because I've got something else I'd like to talk to you about. But first of all, if you give us the phone numbers, if you could repeat them at least once so that
yep.
get people to write them down, Facebook page, web page, everything you've got, please.
All right. Well, it's pretty easy. The main way to contact or get onto our service is via, there's a 1300 number, Each's main 1300 number to begin with, which is 1300-003-224. We also have a specific...
Hang on, we'll give that again. Give them twice, give them a chance
yep,
to write it
that's
down.
That's okay. So our number is 1300-003-224.
Yep.
Facebook, I think if you just access Each via Facebook, it's facebook.com/Each.
Yep.
That's pretty easy. And the website would be each.com.au.
And there'll be a link there for...
You go into services.
Yep.
And we sit under child, youth and family.
So they go to www.each.com.au/...
child-youth-family-services.
So I guess probably the quickest way to do it is either to go to the 3Ws .each.com.au...
Yep.
Or to Google Youth Outreach Services. That would find you too, wouldn't it?
Yep. Each youth, if you typed in Each Yours, Y-O-R-S,
yep.
that will get you to our sort of section of the Each website. Right.
So a couple of things. Somebody contacts you today, a young person, or maybe mum and dad are listening to us and they say when they come home, look, I think you should... look at this and they say, oh, yeah, I'll give it a shot. So they ring. So how long before they would be able to be seen? Is there a backlog or?
We've got a bit of a waiting list at the moment, but we offer like phone call check-ins
right.
while they're on that waiting list. So generally if they contact and go through our intake service, which is that 1300 number,
yep.
They will do a bit of a screen, like just a bit of a phone call with a person on through the intake service. just to talk about what's going on and what their needs are. And sometimes it might be that that service can also direct them to another support or another service that might be appropriate. And then we will contact them as soon as we receive that or if it comes straight through to us.
All right, so what's, I'm just keen to sort of find out what happens next. All right, so they've contacted you.
Yep.
They've either gone through that process or they're waiting for you. So what happens then?
We'll give them a call and book in a time to do an assessment, which might be, it might be in, say, 4 weeks. However, we'll arrange where. It can be by phone, it can be via over telehealth, it can be in the person's home if appropriate, can be wherever they're going to engage well.
Yep.
And we'll call them and have arrange a check-in call with them, might be weekly or fortnightly, until we can have that assessment, and then we'll let them know and keep them informed step by step of what's happening after that.
So I guess it depends upon that assessment what the next step is, isn't it?
Yeah, yep. So usually they're processed through, we'll work out that they're wanting to engage in our service, they've got recovery goals, they are appropriate in the sense that they don't need, you know, if their clinical supports are, if they're in crisis or something, that they're engaging with those appropriate services that we can support with that as well. And so they probably go to active really within probably 4 to 6 weeks, I would say.
And how long on the, and I guess as you're going to tell me, this is a, how long's a piece of string again, but I can only ask, on the average, so we'll talk averages here, how long would you normally be involved with that young person? Is it months or a year or?
Look, it is it's a challenging one to answer, unfortunately. And generally it's about a 6 month stint. However, we will then obviously negotiate with that young person, and depending on what their needs are, it might be shorter than that if it's pretty quick and only need a few sort of supports linked in, or it could be longer and up to a year. It is really dependent, and that's part of also the government funding contract, in that currently we're just on a year-to-year contract.
All right, so what would you consider, and I know I'm asking you some tough questions because I know you're going to tell me they're all different, but what would you, so a young person fronts up today, you're with them for 8, 9, 10 months, and so what would you then consider, pardon me, to be a good outcome for that young person?
I'll just give examples, I guess. Yep. It might be that, you know, they feel more able to go out into social situations. They feel more in control and have achieved certain goals, like maybe getting their driver's license. Maybe they've started engaging with counselling and have been going to that for a long time. They feel more ready to engage in study or work. They may have found more secure accommodation with our support, or maybe they've achieved an assessment and diagnosis and developed a greater understanding of their mental health condition and feel more in control and able to manage and navigate that. Sometimes it's really good outcomes in that, you know, they've started a TAFE course and they've got a job, and they're feeling, you know, much more in control of things and less dominated by their symptoms. And other times it's just that they're the domination of those symptoms in their life and the impact of their ability to live day to day has lessened a lot.
Yeah. I knew you were going to say that it was too easy to say, well, this is what's going to happen, because and that's the way you really want it. Because every young person obviously comes with a different problem, and therefore the solution or the final point isn't going to be the same for everyone.
Absolutely, and we always try to celebrate little wins wherever we can.
Yeah. And the other thing that we should mention, I haven't mentioned it so far, and I should have mentioned it at least a couple of times, is that I know we talk about are you okay and all that sort of stuff, and we make a big deal one day of the year or 1 week of the year, but it is okay to at any time to put your hand up and say, I need help.
Absolutely. Look, yeah, absolutely. There's everyone really is deserving of help. And deserving of having a fulfilling and meaningful life.
It's a bit like going back to what we were talking about before, and I know you put it very, very bluntly and very funny. You don't expect a person with a broken leg just to go out and play football or do whatever they were doing prior to it. And if a young person has got mental health issues or not only mental health, other health issues or they're struggling or it's okay to put your hand up at any time. And it's not weak. In fact, it's very strong to come out and say, listen, I've got a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It takes a lot of courage and a lot of strength to reach out for those supports, I think.
And you people aren't going to judge how they got there, are you?
No, no, absolutely. There's all sorts of things that people will do to cope with their existence and to cope with the circumstances that they've found themselves in.
And the circumstances that put them there aren't going to be what you're so worried about, is it? It's going to be more, what can I do for this? Are you not so interested behind other than to find out how they've got here, but it's more about from today moving on, am I right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the history and the past obviously informs and helps us understand their reactions or their issues today. And certainly a lot of the times they also need to spend time understanding that themselves.
And you're not going to judge how they've got to the situation they are.
No, no, no. Because it's like usually it's been stuff that has been well out of their control, reaching back many, many years into childhood.
Sophie, unfortunately, a time for me to go. I've got to be gone for the 2 o'clock news. I will mention to the audience that Greg Carrick, who's normally here at 3 o'clock with the Oz Indie show, is on holidays for the next for this week, just this week. So we'll be playing music right through. But again, if you want to get hold of Sophie and her team, 1300 00 00324. Sophie, thank you for your time today.
Pleasure.
It's been great to have you along, and I hope we've been able to help just one or two people along the track today.
Absolutely. Thanks very much for having me.
No worries. Thanks, Sophie. Bye.
Bye.